Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today it is just me. My friend Des was going to be coming over to do it with me, but she had to work last minute, so I'm missing her. But it'll be nice to catch you guys all up because I haven't done one by myself for a little bit. I'm not totally by myself. I have Jada is sitting with me. Shane is out. My son, for those of you who might have just started listening, my son is out with his dad on vacation visiting Yellowstone, which is pretty fucking awesome. I've never been. So I'm just watching Jada till Sunday. So for about a week, because I am putting this out late Wednesday night, but this is Tuesday. And then Shane and I are going to be going the week after to Connecticut to visit my family. So I'm very excited about that. Shane, for school, he had to write this bucket list, which is pretty fucking silly and awesome because he's 11, but they had the kids write a list of 100 things for their bucket list of things they wanted to do. And Visit Yellowstone was on his list, so he is checking that off. I should have him on again soon and have him read that list for all of you because it was pretty fucking amazing, honestly. I loved his list. One of the things is to eat a raw egg, and I have yet to allow him to do that. But yeah, there are lots of amazing things on that list. So I'll definitely try to have Shane on soon because I haven't had him on Invasion recently anyway. And I'd love for you guys to hear that he's been changing and growing so much, even each day, each week, each month. So it'll be fun to have him on again. But yeah, okay. So I have a list of topics I want to get through. And one is this whole crisis at the border. And I'm sorry I haven't talked about this earlier. I never know really how to talk about some of those things because, like I said, I don't have all the research to back it up. So some assholes like to be like, actually, technically, blah, 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 blah. And I'm allowed to feel into things without having every single fucking fact. But anyway, separating families at the border, it's disgusting. Like, I don't need to do research to know that ripping children away from their parents and putting them in cages. And yes, they're not small cages, but that it's a big cage on a pretty fucking bootleg sleeping mat with a thermal blanket. And thermal blanket, when I first heard thermal blanket, I pictured like a nice, warm, cushiony thermal blanket. No, it's like that tinfoily fucking blanket. It's really disgusting. And there are tons of pictures of these children weeping behind these cages and the kind of trauma that is definitely happening to these kids. It's insane. Way to make people hate America, Trump. Like, that's not the way to go about this. I get that there needs to be some kind of regulation at the border. I'm not saying completely open the doors to the point where it's unregulated 100%, but clearly we need to work together. Everyone, Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, like all of us together want the same thing, which is to live in a connected society where things actually work and where we can thrive instead of surviving. But we need to be able to come together and really talk, even with the people that you think are complete assholes. And right now, this is completely broken. People, oh, and I love this thing. I love when people are like, I forget what the comment was because I posted something about it and someone, I should pull it up. God damn it. Why didn't I have this ready to go? But I had someone on Twitter be like, well, they shouldn't flee their country, or if they're going to, they should do it legally. Someone who is fleeing their country, they are fleeing an environment that is toxic, dangerous. Obviously, if they had the option to do it legally, they would. And I think that's the thing we need to realize is most people, when they're doing something like fleeing a country or cheating or worse than cheating, most people don't choose that thing. They're doing it out of either fear or desperation. And these people are desperate to get out of countries where things are not only just broken, but there's violence all around them. So for them to take the risk and take their children with them to try to illegally go into a country, it's because they're trying to leave something that's pretty fucking toxic. I'm not saying it's the best option to come here illegally, but that's why we have to fix things. Because if someone really is fleeing a horrible environment, I do feel that America, the US, should be open to them. But then I don't have the answer to overpopulation in the US. And that's why I think a lot of people who are experts need to come together and really figure this out, but from a place of compassion, but compassion with boundaries. And that's a really, really hard thing to learn, not just when it comes to our borders, but even in my personal life. I'm trying to figure out how to have love with bones, as my healer says. I still have trouble saying no in certain circumstances. And it's funny because even she was saying to me, and I have a new healer, by the way, but even she was saying to me, she was like, wow, like you have no trouble in some ways really speaking your mind and saying certain things. But then in other areas, I completely and consciously hold things back because I'm so scared of hurting people if I say no or I don't want to do something. And it goes back and forth. Sometimes I really feel like I'm able to say no, and sometimes I'm completely holding back my truth and what I'm actually thinking because I don't want to hurt people. But then what happens is I end up hurting myself because I'm not saying how I actually feel. And in turn, that's hurting them too, because no one wants to. Some people want to live in fantasy, but on the deepest, deepest level, we all want to be in reality and truth. So if you're hanging out with someone that you really wish you weren't hanging out with, it's best for both of you to actually say, you don't have to say like the exact 100% truth. You don't have to be like, actually, I don't want to hang out with you because, and then give them like this whole mean spiel. But you can say, you know, for whatever reason, I don't feel like I have the energy, whatever. But I am seeing so many parts of myself that are, and I know I've been talking about this for years and years, that are dark and quote unquote ugly, even though I wouldn't call them ugly anymore. And it's just really okay to have those thoughts. And I think, by the way, everyone, I graduated my 4-year non-dual Kabbalistic healing program this past weekend. I shouldn't have started with it. I wanted to start with the border and the boundaries thing, but I did. I graduated from a Society of Souls 4-year non-dual Kabbalistic healing program. And it's pretty big. I feel pretty fucking stoked about it. It was an unreal moving experience to graduate. Very touching. There was a ceremony that was just beautiful. My teachers, Eileen and Jeff, are truly remarkable beings and both have helped me transform. And I'm still transforming because of them. And I guess there's so much to say. I feel like I'm all over the place. But I've really been seeing so many of my blind spots, including how much I have enmeshed and entangled with certain friends who I love dearly, but have accidentally, unconsciously, overly connected to some of them in ways that are out of relationship. And I'm trying now to go back and, like I said before, have love with bones and learn how to have connections, love people, but still feel like I have a sense of self where I can actually be who I am. And one of the things I noticed this weekend is it's very hard for me often to sit still. And I always feel really bad about it. It goes really back to being in school, being in the public school system. It was always hard for me. I think it's hard for every kid, to be honest, to sit for more than like half an hour to an hour. I personally, I have a lot of energy that courses through my vessel and I need to move. I almost wish I was allowed to bring like fidget spinners with me to these, to the school or to like the all school meeting I'm going to be going to. It can be very hard for me to sit still. My body starts to quake. So I really let myself see that this time and feel that I was unable to get up and move when I wanted to, because I don't want to ever hurt anyone. I don't want to throw off a teacher, or do you know what I mean? So I'm really seeing these things and trying to work with this dilemma, because I still don't feel able to be who I am. And I'm sure a lot of you can relate, especially those of you who have jobs where like you have to sit still, or if you have a big meeting for 2 hours, like it's not an option to say to your boss, I'm starting to get really antsy. Can I have a fidget spinner, or can I walk around the table in a circle while we do this? Often the boss is allowed to do that, right? Where if they get antsy, they can kind of like almost take a ball and throw it up in the air and walk around. But if you're kind of lower on the totem pole, it's this thing where you're just supposed to like sit still. And yeah, I'm just kind of over that in a way, but not, because I still feel like I don't have the ability or the bravery to do that in every situation, because I really don't want to offend people or hurt people. But I'm looking forward to getting to a place where I know how to stand up for myself and speak my truth with love, where I'm not terrified that if I offend someone, I'm going to get killed. And that obviously stems from an old historical wound and childhood wound of a childhood environment where you were not able to stand up for your needs and say what you really want. So yeah, my healer has been helping me with that, although it's very, very hard, because I still believe that if I actually say how I feel, it won't be taken correctly all the time, because I have really, really bitchy and cunty thoughts. I think we all do. I know we all do, but a lot of us have shoved them so far down, we're not in touch with them at all. But that's the whole thing of non-duality is, well, not the whole thing, because there's so much that goes into non-duality, but you're allowed to be who you are, even the darker places that we think are so bad. So I've been really trying to get more and more conscious of these bitchy or cranky or whatever thoughts that swim through my consciousness, and really look at them and go, okay, this is not the full picture. But if I push it away, like there's something wrong with that thought, that doesn't help. I want to bring it in. I want to see it with as much compassion as I can, but it's been hard, because after you bring it in, you're like, well, now what? I can hear the thought that's going, oh my God, I need to move my body. I can't sit right now. And yet I don't know how to actually get up in that moment and say, hey, I just need to walk a little bit. You know, like I'm terrified to say things like that. So it's been hard, but wonderful seeing that place. Also, I got to host last Thursday the Libera Awards. These are independent music awards at the PlayStation Theater, which was this big, beautiful theater in Times Square. And holy fuck, it was such an amazing experience getting to host that. I was definitely, definitely nervous leading up to it. But I said to myself, I was like, yo, you got this. And I almost felt bad being confident, right? Like, I felt like I was supposed to be nervous. And I was like, no, like, you're allowed to feel like you've got this. I was talking to myself, I was like, Kate, you have done comedy for 8 years. You have been in all different kinds of circumstances, because, you know, as a comedian, you find yourself in some weird fucking shows. And I was like, you have this, like, you legitimately have this. Plus, there was like a teleprompter. I was like, there's no way you're going to fuck this up. And it went so well. They let me be myself. I got to rap Whack Ass Pussy there, which was pretty amazing to do that to 1,000 people in like wonderful suits and dresses. I did at the very end, but I got to tell like vagina jokes and not just dirty jokes. They just fully let me be me. Not only did they let me be me, they wanted more me. Like, we were getting notes. I was getting notes throughout the show, because I would present an award, and then I'd go, when the person was giving their acceptance speech, I would kind of go to the side where everyone was, and they were like, do more ad lib, like add more stuff. I was like, really? Really? This was one of my favorite parts. I got to FaceTime Shane from the stage, and I had like 1,000 people saying, hi, Shane. But he couldn't really hear very much. So he was like, Mom, I can't hear. What's going on? And I was like, okay, forget it. So it was like a funny moment. But oh, and my mom was there in her cute, adorable dress. And she was like up by the balcony doing like, when I was little, she'd say rainbows, hearts, and flowers, and then go, I love you, but like do like the hand symbol of it, where she points to her, makes the heart symbol with her hands, and then points to me. So she was like doing that from the balcony, and I got to really include her in the show a lot. I was like, my mom's waving to me. And yeah, it was really just a beautiful, wonderful experience. I loved my fucking dress. For those of you who haven't seen it, you can check on my Facebook fan page or even my personal page I make public, or Instagram. I've posted pictures of what I look like. And let me tell you, my dress was $35 from Marshalls. Okay. I fucking love Marshalls. I just like going, I don't really dig too much through things, but like, I just like finding treasure. And I don't know, like, I just find a lot of good things there for a really affordable price. It sounds like Marshalls paid me. They did not, unfortunately. But yeah, that's where I got my dress. But I felt like I was wearing like $1,000 or more dress. It just fit really well. I felt like a queen. It was a really cool experience. And yeah, we'll see what comes out of it. But I felt very, very proud about the whole thing. Also, when I had class this weekend, I partnered with a good friend of mine, Eric, who listens to this. So hi, Eric. I'm shouting you out. But he was one of my healing partners. We kind of go off and practice the healing, so we get different partners. And he was my partner for one. And we got to share. I got to share. He got to share. But I got to share for 10 minutes about what I was going through. And he let me know. He's like, oh, you should share that more with like your audience, your listeners. And I was like, oh, I thought I did, but I guess I don't. So I want to share this with you. So thank you, Eric, for bringing this to my attention. I was sharing with him how many fears and doubts still run through my body on a daily basis. And I thought I shared that with you guys, but I maybe don't share it enough. Despite all the risks I take, right? Like here I quit teaching to follow comedy and then I became a healer. I am filled with doubts and fears, and I just include them while still really believing that the universe and God has my back. And I'd also like to add that when I say God, because when I first started this, my 4-year program, I had a lot of transference to the word God. I do not mean a dude in a chair. Like, that's not what I'm talking about. Like, for me, God is this big overall presence, source energy, universe. So to me, God is that. But anyway, I believe that these risks and everything, like I believe things are lining up. I believe I'm evolving. I know that there's abundance. But that doesn't mean I don't have these historical wounds and these fears and these doubts. And it can be still really scary living this life of really taking chances and trying to follow my dream and tell everyone about my spiritual journey while going, man, I really hope all of this, you know, lines up. But then I have to remember that right here where I am, it has lined up. And I remember when I first started the 4-year program for Society of Souls, I had pictured where I'd be when I graduated. First of all, I was quote unquote fixed, whatever that really means, right? Like I was just completely fixed and perfect, void of suffering. The human journey, you cannot be void of suffering. Primary suffering from just being contracted into physical manifested form is unavoidable. But the more you heal, the less unnecessary, unproductive suffering you have to add on to it. And by the way, this is also the teachings of my school. But it was really interesting to have had this visual of where I would be when I graduated, and then to actually be in reality of where I am and to kind of rectify that. And it was cool though, because even though I'm not rich and famous yet or pregnant or whatever I had pictured, I feel good in my body. I feel so much better than I felt when I started the program, and I'm still healing and unwinding and unfolding. And I can't wait to keep seeing what happens as I continue this process. But I really got to feel this weekend, I was like, okay, I'm not where I thought I was going to be, but this in a way is even better, because the way I feel and the way I navigate my reality is way less tumultuous, because I am starting to allow myself to see how I was co-creating drama and pain in my life while playing the victim unconsciously. You know, so I was helping to create this drama in my life that I didn't actually want, but didn't see how I was helping to create that. And I'm not saying I fully get it yet, but I'm starting to really see the ways that I bring upon these things in my life. And I'm working very hard with compassion on changing that, because ultimately I want to live a life filled with abundance and love without unnecessary bumps. There are bumps in life, some that you cannot avoid, but I was definitely creating a lot more just to feel alive. It's like emotional cutting. In a sense, we all have these defense mechanisms that allow us to get through. And one of them for me was dissociating, but then creating this drama to make me feel alive within the dissociation. So I'm working hard on seeing that and shifting that. But yeah, it was really cool. And I do still have doubts and fears, even though I also have so much faith in this process and where we're all headed as a collective together. Because a lot of us really are waking up and things are syncing up. And there are, if you pay attention to the small little details, you can see things changing. Like the other day, well, first of all, I am learning, or I'm teaching Jada slowly how to walk off a leash, because I really feel bad actually when I put that leash on her. I feel like I have a little animal slave, honestly. I don't like restricting her freedom like that. But also, I feel if I took her completely off the leash right now, she would totally run away. So I'm teaching her slowly how to walk off the leash, and she's doing really, really well. I don't know how she would be off the leash if she ran into another dog at this point, but so far we ran into bunnies, and she got alerted, but she stayed with me because I talked her through it, so she didn't chase after them. So I was walking Jada on the leash. I gave her like four walks yesterday, some off, some on. This one was on, and I'm walking, and all of a sudden I hear this like crazy dog barking across the street, like pretty like adamantly, and I see this other in front of me, this big furry body. So I assumed it was like another big dog, and this dog was barking at another dog. And I was going to keep walking towards this other dog that the dog was barking at. And then I was like, you know what? I thought about what I just told you guys. I was like, if I walk closer to this drama, I am putting myself into it. I'm going to turn around with Jada and walk away. So I turn around and walk away. And as I turn around and walk away, I see that it wasn't barking at another dog. It was barking at this big, beautiful deer that was just out, like, how, like, 8 feet in front of me. It was just like, and this has been happening to me lately, where animals are just starting to come out almost like to talk to me. I know that sounds crazy, but like the bunnies are getting closer to me. I've like, at this point, I've like pet spiders in my house, which I know is going to sound insane to some of you, but I don't like killing spiders. And I know that they're part of the, well, I kind of talked about this earlier, but they're part of the whole food chain. And I don't want my house to be overrun with spiders, but I have a couple spiders in my bathroom, one in my kitchen, one by my door. Have I named them? Yes. Do you want to know their names? Fine. Will some of you judge me? Fine. I'll include my fear around your judgment. Okay, so my spiders in the bathroom are, Shane named one, and that was Charlotte. So one is Charlotte, like Charlotte's Web. Then the little other smaller spider is called Cutie Pie. I named that one. The spider in the kitchen is Freddy, of course. I love naming spiders Freddy. And then, God damn it. Oh, what was the one downstairs? Oh, man, I forget the one downstairs name. I'll have to rename him or her. So I'll fill you guys in on the spider's name downstairs by the door. But anyway, so I've been very much loving on the animals near me. And this deer was just like right out in the open, like 8 feet in front of me. And it just started like crossing the street really calmly, looking at me. And I was looking at it, and I just started talking to it. I was like, you're okay, you're okay. And then I saw a car coming. So I literally walked down to the middle of the street with Jada, put my hand out to the car, like, slow down, let this deer cross. I was kind of like a deer crossing guard. Meanwhile, so this deer starts crossing. This dog's still barking. So this fucking bitch ass owner, honestly, I'm gonna call her a cunt. Okay. Some of you don't like that word. I don't know. This woman to me was a cunt. She was like threatening the deer with her dog. Who the fuck threatens a deer with a dog? Like, who are you? Like, I guess she didn't want the deer on her property, but it's like, yo, what the fuck? Like, I just was pissed. So I was like pissed because I was trying to get the deer across, and it did cross the street safely. But then this woman like was kind of like scaring the deer off, like with her dog. And I was kind of like yelling at her, but I also didn't want to like yell too loud where she came at me with her dog and Jada. So I was just kind of like, let it go. Let the deer go. Deer, are you safe? Deer, like, I was like talking to, I don't know. It was a scene. So anyway, that's to me an example of things evolving and lining up is that the animal, if you notice the animal kingdom approaching you more, or just noticing it more in general, like communicating with birds, hearing bird songs, hearing the trees and the wind and actually coming alive and feeling those elements, I think are a part of us waking up. So, okay. I have some more stuff to talk about. I saw Passengers last night, the movie. I saw it for free on the Stars. I have Stars, whatever, on my cable package, and I thought it was fucking awesome. Sometimes Rotten Tomatoes gives bad ratings to movies that are fucking wonderful. I thought Passengers was actually an incredible movie, and I'm not 100% sure about this, but I think there's a possibility that Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence are twin flames. Their chemistry was insane in that movie, and I know there was that whole rumor that he was going to get a divorce from Anna Faris because of Jennifer Lawrence. He ended up divorcing Anna, but not being with Jennifer. But I wouldn't be surprised if maybe in the future they do come together, because I started watching some of their interviews together, and oh my God, there's a lot of fucking tension between them. Like, and it makes sense because they're both actually two of my favorite actors. I have more than them, but they're up there. I love Chris Pratt. And I love Jennifer Lawrence. And when they talk together, they're both just really funny, magnetic people. And energy doesn't lie. They have a similar magnetism to them. And I just, yeah, I really like them together. And that movie really stuck with me. So if you haven't seen it, I would recommend it. It was really, really good. Okay, now I want to talk about Pete Davidson and Ariana Grande again. Pete went on... Jimmy Fallon, Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. And one of the first things he said, he's like, I don't understand why people care so much, you know? And then he like talked about like the administration and Trump. He's like, these things are happening and people want to talk about me and Ariana. So not that Pete listens to my podcast. Like I said, we were friends back in the day. Not that we're not friends, like we're cool with each other, but I don't have his number or anything. But I just want to address why some people care, because obviously not everyone cares. Because love is exciting, real love, raw love. And he even said in the interview, you have to watch his interview, it's fucking hilarious, by the way, because he curses about a million times and it's like killing Jimmy. And I like Pete's rawness. I like that he just doesn't have a filter and says what he thinks. That's part of what we're loving about this romance, is the wild, raw nature of it. And you can't make that shit up. And so many of us have buried this aliveness within ourselves and are too scared to take the risk that him and Ariana are taking. And he even said on the thing, he's like, a man came up to me and said, you gave me hope. And Pete turned it into a joke where he's like, oh, I didn't know I was that ugly. And I didn't take it as X. I don't think Pete's ugly at all. He's dope. He's got like full sleeves, tattoos. Like, he's a good looking dude. So I don't think they mean it because Pete's not good looking. I think it's because it's the love. It's like a lot of people have resigned themselves to a life that, where they've settled. And I think seeing something so beautiful and untamed gives people hope, like, oh, maybe I can have a love like that that inspires me to break out of these chains and just say, fuck it. Because when you find a partner that gets you and loves you for real unconditionally, and unconditional love isn't putting up with someone's bullshit, by the way. That's one of my fucking pet peeves in the spiritual community that I've talked about. Unconditional love is not saying, oh, I love you so much that I'll be a doormat for you. No. And it goes on both ends, because if you're allowing yourself to be a doormat for that person, then you're also hurting that other person, because they're not really in reality about what it means to love and to respect and to meet someone in the fire. So what I love about Pete and Ariana is that it's clear she has high standards for herself. But they love each other unconditionally, to the point where I think it's her birthday today, actually. So happy birthday, Ariana. But he did these two beautiful posts for her birthday that only someone in true love would do. Like the things he says to her, you can just feel it. And I don't know, there are some couples out there that are really trying to sell their love, and I ain't buying it. Okay. For people who are still really sensitive and can feel into things, don't buy into the bullshit. But that's where a lot of people are operating from. They don't even know that they're in the bullshit. So then you have to be really sensitive. But I'm not being, well, I'll get into that next. But I still want to talk about Pete and Ariana. And then I'm going to get into Jon Snow and Daenerys Targaryen. They're my next topic, by the way. So Pete and Ariana, they also just got these tattoos that say reborn. And I think that's the thing that they're eliciting, at least in me, is this, like, when you meet someone that you are madly in love with and you support each other for real and your badassness and your sweetness, suddenly you feel that you can actually be yourself for real. And I just love watching them both just really be themselves unapologetically. And it's inspiring so many people. And I'm sure it's inspiring a lot of haters too, but it's like, bye. Okay, now, Jon Snow and Khaleesi. Well, so Kit Harington, the actor that plays Jon Snow in Game of Thrones, just got married to the woman actress who plays Ygritte. And for those of you who don't watch Game of Thrones, Jon Snow, who's the king of the North, he gets, like, this is like from way earlier in the season that I haven't seen, but basically he gets like kidnapped by wildlings over the wall. And while being kidnapped and held hostage, he falls for a wildling named Ygritte, who's a beautiful, amazing woman. I have no issue with Ygritte, or I forget, oh, her name's Rose. Her real name is Rose. I think she's also a beautiful woman. I do not think, or doesn't feel like a real fit. And they just got married. The actors, Kit and Rose, got married. And I just can't stand seeing the pictures because it doesn't feel like real, true, passionate love. It looks like two really good, solid friends who love each other getting married, but it doesn't have that Ariana Grande, Pete Davidson vibe. And like, I'm sorry, like, it's so funny because I'm like writing stuff on Instagram about it and other people are like getting mad, but I'm like, fuck it. Like, I'm going to say how I feel. I don't like their relationship. It doesn't feel real or passionate. And honestly, I feel like him and Emilia Clarke, Kit and Emilia, are actually twin flames. And a lot of you might not agree with me, but check out my post on Instagram. I did Twin Flame Tuesday with Jon Snow and Daenerys Targaryen. And I included pictures from a photo shoot with Kit and Emilia, not in character. And it's a pretty steamy, like, for them not being a couple, you can feel the chemistry between the two of them. And I just feel like for whatever reason, he didn't want to take the leap. A lot of people are just too scared to fully enter that fire because it brings up things within ourselves that we don't want to look at yet, myself included. Do you know what I mean? Because if I were really ready, I'd be in my twin flame relationship. We're all energy. We're all vibration. So, you know, this isn't to like insult anyone, but I really, it really kind of upset me looking at their wedding pictures for real, because I feel like my whole life, these fake fucking things were forced down my throat and you're supposed to just go, oh yeah, I'm so happy for you. But meanwhile, inside you're like, oh, they don't even love each other. This is so like built on logic and practicality. And it doesn't mean there isn't a kindness or a love there, but like, you can just feel it. As I say, you feel it in your loins. Like, you can feel when something excites you. And I don't know that. So Pete Davidson, that's why we care. Because people at the end of the day want to be themselves. They want to feel alive. They want that fire. It's what we're all looking for, is to be with a person that feels like home and yet with that fiery passion. And I feel like a lot of people are settling because there are these collective belief systems that are floating around that are like, ugh, they're so annoying to me. Where it's like, you're supposed to settle. It's like the way it is. I love when like married couples completely give up on sex and they're like, yeah, you just end up hating each other and you never fuck. And it's like, I get that it's hard when you're married. I get that you can hit a routine, but like, fuck that. Like, we should always be passionate. We should always want to fuck our partner. Like, even if we take breaks, like, look, if I find my partner and I get pregnant, first of all, I'm going to be having a lot of sex when I'm pregnant. But after you give birth, you do have to wait like 6 weeks for your vagina to kind of go back. Like, so I get having to wait things like for that medical stuff. But like, no, I always want to feel that passion. And honestly, if it dies, I don't know if I'd want to stay. Like, I just think we need to start instead of settling for this like dead end state, even if you're in the dead end state now, that's fine. You can look at it and go, okay, I'm not fully there yet. But like always strive for aliveness and for your heart and for the flame. Like, yeah, go for it. And every aspect of your life, including your doubts and including your fear, it's not easy. It has not been easy for me to go after a fiery, passionate career. It has been hard as balls, although balls aren't hard. They're soft. But you get what I'm saying. And yet it's like, what's the other route? Seriously, what's the other route? But anyway, also, since I graduated, any of you who want a non-dual Kabbalistic healing, they go so fucking deep. They help you come into reality. I think I'm a pretty good healer, if I don't say so myself. So reach out to me, kwolf2fs27@gmail.com. And yeah, I would love to give you a non-dual Kabbalistic healing. I'm officially a graduate of the school. Okay, so let's see. What else do I want to talk about? I don't know. I'm going to go. So I live in Jersey and there's a theater near me in Union on Tuesdays, $5 movies. Are you fucking joking my ass? Yes, please. So I think I'm going to go see Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom today. Like I said, huge Chris Pratt fan. I think I had a dream about him last night. I don't even think it was sexual, actually. But oh my God, I'll tell you about it. I feel like I've been sharing dreams with you guys. In my dream last night, I had sex with me, but as another person, like it was me. I was like the guy, and I had sex with me as the girl who I am. It was pretty hot, actually. So I had sex with me and loved it. I was like all about it. there's also some other weird shit going on in my dreams, but what are you going to do? Okay. Like I said, I'm going to Connecticut to visit my family who just... Well, some of them moved back from England. Some of them were already here, but I'm very excited because we're going to go be by a lake and I need water near. And it's a clean lake because there's this one lake I went into like a year or two ago. And there was a leech in there that got onto my nephew's little cute foot that my brother had to like yank off. But it was pretty, like after that, I was like, fuck no, because leeches scare the shit out of me. I saw this movie. I'm sure a lot of you have seen it, Stand By Me, when I was young. Amazing movie, by the way. If you haven't seen it, it's incredible. But like there's a scene where like leeches are all over them and it's like scarred me forever. So I don't fuck with leeches. Okay. Oh, also, so I can't share much about what I learned this weekend, but holy crap. This weekend, the last weekend and the new healing we learned, it was so amazingly cool. I mean, learning the Kabbalistic tree of life over the last 4 years, I mean, it's been amazing. And it's really all about, like I said, coming into reality in a deeper way than you ever have and holding your suffering in a different way than you have and accepting that suffering is part of the human experience. All right, so what I think I'll do, I don't have much more energy left in the tank, but I will pull cards for you guys like I do when it's just me. I feel like I keep wanting to burp, but I'm not because I am a lady. Although I'm not a lady, so maybe I will burp. Oh, and ladies burp, by the way, and ladies fart for real. Like, I can't wait till I find someone where I really do feel comfortable farting around. It's just going to be so beautiful. I can't wait. Okay. First card through the art. I'm like losing steam. It's eyes. No, art through the eyes of the soul oracle deck. Now, oh my God, this is one of the, okay, I picked a card. It's like one of the hardest ones for me to interpret. I get this a lot. It's called Eru's Eyes. And the picture is of this beautiful woman. Like her whole image, it's like in the sky and she's overlooking these mountains. And then the mountains are right by this water with an orca and then two seagulls. Oh, beautiful. Look through the mist, find the mystery. So it's Eru's eyes. Look through the mist, find the mystery. So let me feel into this for you guys and for me. We often have a hard time we get confused pretty easily. It can be really hard to find your truth when you have been pushed and pulled starting as children to get far from your truth. So we legitimately get confused as to what our truth is. And what I was talking to my healer about yesterday is really allowing your body and your feelings to be the compass, but not the compass to know the answer, but the compass to know at least in that moment what you need to do. So for example, if I'm speaking to someone and my body starts to quake, it doesn't mean that that person is quote unquote bad, as if it's ever that simple. But for whatever reason, I'm having a reaction in my body, and it's okay to listen and to walk away, even with the confusion as to why that happened. Because we don't want to jump to conclusions of, oh, I got a pit in my stomach, which means dot, dot, dot. You can say, oh, I got a pit in my stomach. It didn't feel good. So I had to remove myself from that situation for whatever reason. And I think for me, this card is just saying, like, find the mystery. Find the place that isn't sure, that doesn't know, but knows that there's magic in the uncertainty. Because so much of our life is uncertain. We try to grasp and attach and control and find the answers to feel safe, but that's false safety anyway. Because safety isn't about knowing a specific date or answer. It's a place within yourself of knowing that you're going to look out for you, that you're going to listen to the sensations in your body, knowing that you will speak up for yourself and take care of yourself and show compassion to all areas, to all parts of yourself, even the parts, like I was talking about earlier, that are cranky or bitchy or unkind, but bringing kindness to even those possibly dissociated parts. And I think this card is just saying, like, it's okay to be unsure. It's okay to be uncertain. We are living the mystery. There is so much about this human journey that we do not know, and that's okay. But what I can tell you is that I really believe and have faith in the fact that the universe has our back, even with all the horrific things that go on, because to even be, like I said before, a human in this contracted state, there is suffering that goes along with it, because we have to look, even having to eat, even having to kill things, whether it's animals, even though I don't really eat animals ever, but plants, things have to die for us to live, even if they're plants. Things have to be cut down like trees to make shelter. So just to be alive, you feel the loss. We are connected to all things. So you feel the loss of the tree next door falling. You feel that even if you're not conscious of it. So just kind of opening up to the mystery and knowing that there's so much more to all of this than we know, but knowing that it's okay to be the sensitive, vulnerable, and often confused beings that we are, and knowing that it's really and truly okay to be imperfect, because we all are. And we all have these weird thoughts or murderous thoughts or whatever thoughts you would classify them as. We have these places, and it's about acknowledging them with compassion. It doesn't mean you act out on them. It's when you include them that something else can happen. And I'm still trying to find that balance within me, because with my art and my music and all that stuff, I'm trying to create authentic art, but from a place that isn't acting out. And it can be hard, because I want to be an artist who authentically channels my rage or my passion or whatever, but it can be hard to know. It's tricky, because I want to put things out that don't necessarily hurt people, but at the same time, I love Cardi B because she's so raw and she puts out real emotion and feelings that most people are too ashamed to admit to feeling, which is why her music does so well. She is saying things that most of us can relate to, but would never have the audacity to say. So I want to have that as well and be able to say things that we all feel, but people aren't able to say, but not in a way that's like acting out. So it's a really hard balance, but I think we will all get there together. So that's the first card. And I've gotten so many nice comments. I posted on Facebook and Instagram and stuff about me graduating the school. And some of you wrote to me the nicest things about following my journey and being inspired and appreciating it. And thank you guys so much. Like, seriously, it's so nice to hear from you guys. And just flattering that you guys have listened to me talk so much and have followed me. So thank you. Oh, I want to, before I do the next card, I want to address an email from a listener. A listener wrote, if you were stuck in a room for 24 hours having to listen to the same song over and over, what song would it be? And I kind of cheated with my answer in a way. Here, I'll read the exact thing. If you were stuck in a room for 24 hours with a single song playing on repeat at full volume, what song would you want it to be? Kyle. So, hi, Kyle. So I chose, of course, I went to classical music, because if you're really stuck in a room, you would want to listen to something that's soothing and a long-ass song. So I literally picked a song by Max Richter from his album Sleep called Dream 3. And it's beautiful. And it's like 10 minutes long. And I'm actually going to maybe play some of it. I don't know if you will be able to hear it through the... I don't even think you'll be able to hear it. But it's not playing. Why? Anyway, you guys can listen to it. Dream 3 by Max Richter in his Sleep album. But yeah, I would pick a classical music, of course. If you have to listen to it over and over, it should be something really soothing and a longer song. Okay, next card. This is the Archangel Michael deck, one of my favorite archangels to work with. Oh, one of my favorite cards. God is in charge. Yep. And then here's the prayer. Dear God, please help me let go of this situation, giving it in faith and trust to your divine wisdom and infinite love in order to resolve and heal everything and everyone involved. God, this is so important. What an important message. Because we often, it's what I was kind of saying before about wanting to feel that control. When you really surrender to the universe or God or whatever you feel comfortable with saying, it's really about trusting that there is a bigger plan. And that we are being held in all of this. There's a Rumi quote I love where it's like, live as if everything is rigged in your favor. So it kind of reminds me of this, where it's like, God's plan is going to be so much bigger and vast and open than our limited vision that we have for our lives. So surrendering it in faith and trust that whatever situation or situations you're trying to grasp at or control, realizing that you can surrender it. You don't have control over it anyway. Control in many ways is an illusion. So surrendering so you can feel good and trusting in yourself and trusting in the universe that all will resolve in the way it's meant to. So everything and everyone involved can benefit. Because even if, you know, we often get very impulsive. So we want something and we're willing to hurt other people to get it. But the truth is, if you hurt someone else, you're also hurting yourself. So it's best to wish for a situation to be resolved in a way where everyone gets to benefit and no one is quote unquote knifed in the situation. Even if you have this like vengeance out or something for a person, like the truth is we all want the best for each other and ourselves, even with the ugly places within that think otherwise. It's really not real. Only love is real. So we actually want everyone to thrive and be themselves, because if we're actually allowed to come into reality and be our truest authentic selves, things will fall into a place where we're no longer having to like compete with each other in the ways that we thought we had to when we were younger. We can all actually have abundance and thrive in a healing community. Once we do enough healing work to get there, it can't be forced. So I love this card where it's like, when you give it up to God, trust that everything will be healed for everyone. And we truly, truly want that. Although at times we think we don't, we want everyone involved to have abundance. And we want to actually all end up with the partners that are actually meant for us and the careers that are meant for us. And all these can shift and change, of course, too. But at the end of the day, we all want to be who we truly are. And, yeah, be with someone we love unconditionally and feel is our right match, like Pete and Ariana. Okay, so that card is a beautiful one. I love it, obviously. And okay, I'm going to pull a regular tarot one, and then I'm going to wrap this up. Oh, shit. literally, they all. Wow. I wonder what that means. Okay. So literally, I went to take my deck and so many cards fell out upright. So this must, oh my God, the universe. So to me, the universe wants me to read a couple cards for you guys. More than a couple, actually. Universe, thank you. Because my voice is tired right now. But fuck it. You guys are about to get a full reading. So you can tell how. All right. But I'm going to make it. Oh my God, there's so many cards. Okay. Okay. I'm going to do the ones that speak out. Not every single one that fell out. Because I will lose my mind. All right, guys. Ready? Shaman of Wands, surrender to your power. We are ancient beings walking this earth. There is intuitive, deep, ancient wisdom deep within our bones, and we are trying to wake up to these deep inner truths. So many of us are scared of coming into our power because it was kind of beaten out of us when we were young. Because we, you know, our parents didn't exactly welcome the deep truths that we were speaking when they had to close themselves off from it when they were young. So yeah, coming into your power, surrendering to it as best you can while noticing the fear that pops up around claiming it. Four of Discs, foundation in the physical world, learning to build from a place of security within yourself and knowing that you will be able to venture out into the world in a way where you can manifest your dreams once you feel safe enough within. It's really hard to go out there and build the life of your dreams until you actually feel safe within your body. It's almost impossible because you can then create your dreams, but if you don't feel good within, you know, what does it really matter? You see a lot of people who are rich and famous committing suicide because you can have everything you want in the physical world, but until you actually feel good and aligned within, yeah, it doesn't really feel good inside, I guess. Okay. The world, abundance. Abundance is truly our birthright. This is another belief system that many of us have a hard time touching, but it's our birthright. We all have abundance within. The universe is within. Yeah, the external world is really a reflection of what's going on inside. So healing work, you know, you can reach out to me for a healing, a tarot reading, or whatever methods that you need to do that help you. Meditation, going to a drum circle, whatever. But the more you heal within, the more you will see abundance in your external world. Eight of Wands. Oh man, moving forward with power and fire, letting yourself come alive, letting yourself feel the passion, letting yourself have these dreams that become reignited. So kind of like reigniting the eternal flame within and saying, you know what? I'm not giving up on my dreams. I'm not giving up on myself. I know I can have it all. No matter what your age is, no matter what your situation is, things can shift any moment. Nothing is set in stone and the future is filled with so much potential. So just really believing that and just, you know, loving yourself and watering your own garden and knowing that you can really have an amazing life, but you have to surrender to get there because the life that you may be envisioning or picturing may not be your actual abundance. And that's for all of us. So just really surrendering while igniting your flame and knowing that you will, you know, with dedication, faith, and determination, you can have the life of your dreams. I truly believe that. But there will always be primary suffering built within because of just like I said, being physically manifested, you will always feel that contraction, which is actually the pull to God. And then the last one I'm going to do, Six of Swords. Really trying to see these thoughts that swirl in your heads with kindness and knowing that it kind of brings us all together, whether we want to admit it or not. We all have similar dark thoughts. We all have our neuroses. I actually posted a quote from Jason Schulman the other day. Well, I reposted it from the Non-Dual Kabbalistic Healing account. You should follow it, by the way, on Facebook. There's an NYC Kabbalistic Healing account. So let me read the quote I reposted from the account. It's one of my, Jason Schulman, the founder of my school, has a bajillion brilliant quotes, but this one was definitely one of my favorites. So it says, If we believe we need to work through all of our neuroses in order to see reality or be with God, we are pretty much lost because our neuroses and imperfections are endless. It's not about perfection. It's about your ability to love. Jason Shulman from his book, Receiving God. And I think that's really important, is just knowing that you're allowed to see your neuroses and your imperfections, and they're endless. It's okay. We're human. It's not about perfection, like he says. It's about your ability to love yourself and others. So thank you guys so much for listening. The next Dragon Sorcery is at New York Comedy Club, July 25th. Use promo DRAGON for $10 tickets. I'd love to see you there. Please buy my album 1111 or stream it or whatever. Check out Labia Game on YouTube if you have not yet. And yeah, please come get a healing. Try it out. Why not, right? They're pretty fucking awesome. And I have my certificate now. So I was able to give them before, but now I'm like real, like now it's like certified. Let's do this. So thank you guys so much for listening, and talk to you next week. Bye.